Why, hi, it's Dame Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Hourglass Bride. Today is such a fun show, and I'm so excited for today's guest. Today we're talking about bachelor and bachelorette parties. We're talking about events. We're talking about the great event that happens before the marriage, before the wedding, and really how to have an extraordinary and exciting time. Today's guest is absolutely incredible. He is a friend. He is ranges in so many multitudes of the entertainment industry and truly knows how to step into relationships in a very different way and how to make relationships and how to make the enthusiasm, the excitement, the joy, and really bring people together in such a fun way, in such an exciting way, in such an exalting way before the event. That I just, if our goal is to bring you the best techniques and keys and secrets and tools, how to have that happily ever after, this is the beginning. This is step one. This is the unfoldment of that. Today we are talking with Tony Renata. Tony is amazing. He literally changed his life from his childhood to his adulthood. I love reading in his bio. He was saying that he couldn't even get a date in high school, which is amazing because if you see his photographs and you know the journey of his path in his life and you meet him in person, you would be absolutely awestruck. And Tony won the coveted title of Mr. Romance. He graced the covers of romance novels, if you can imagine that, for years, not to mention he had his very own monthly romance column, which was Dear Mr. Romance, in which he gave people just invaluable advice. He also has this incredible sense of humor. And Tony, to many, is just known as a stand-up comedian. And what do they say? The songs say that he's got personality. He has personality plus. Not only does he have charm and talent and wisdom and knowledge and all these things, he is truly one of the funniest people because he understands the human experience, the human life. And so he's able to look at people in a whole different way. And just the joyous way in which he shares is unbelievable. So working with him on any level is always a ride of just a thrill of joy. So fabulous. He's so fascinating. And since winning Mr. Romance, Tony has made several appearances in comedy clubs and conventions. He was a recurring guest host on The Other Half with Dick Clark and Danny Bonaducci. He starred in his own sitcom pilot, which was called Life's a Stage, and he even opened for George Lopez and Judy Tenuta. He has toured the country on the deaf comedy circuit, and he also had his one-man comedy show. And then he did this amazing leap. He went from his own show, which was called The Art of the Tease, into the world of bachelor and bachelorette parties and events and entertainment. And today his business Trends caters to men and women really ready to step into that love forever after. And so I am excited, I am just elated and overjoyed to bring to you a friend, a talented, wise, funny, gifted man who really knows how to make those happily ever after dreams come true. Tony, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nicole.
So
I'm a little nervous right now. That was quite a build-up.
Oh, my gosh. No. Truly, when I look at your life, it's incredible, and it really is. If I were making a pie, it's funny, I thought about this morning, and if you were making a pie, you don't say to somebody or a cake, you know, use this ingredient and that ingredient and this gluten-free flour and this much sugar. You just say, make me something delicious. I love cake. Make me something wonderful. And you have innately all of the ingredients to make something wonderful for someone. You really do. And so I absolutely love the journey and path that you're on right now.
No, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. It's Sunday. It's recovery day in Las Vegas. So it's actually kind of a nice way to ease into my afternoon.
Okay, so I have so many questions. I don't even know where to begin. So I think because I'm a woman, I'm going to begin with the bachelorette, since that seems to be the trend, if we can. So when a woman's getting married and you think about a bachelorette party, are people afraid, like, to say, I would really like this, or I would really like this fantasy or this fairy tale, or I would really like to have a good time with my friends, and I really don't even know what that looks like, and but I want it to be safe and fun, and it's something I'm going to remember forever for the rest of my life. And so how does someone begin?
Well, that's the number one key is the fact that it is a once-in-a-lifetime event. So it's not just a party. It is an event. And I think that it needs as much attention as the wedding itself. And I think that the entire process of getting married is special all the way through, from the engagement to the engagement party to planning the wedding. And even though that's a very stressful thing, it's also extremely memorable. And, you know, a big part of that is the sending off party. And that's going to be the bachelor, bachelorette, stagette party that takes place. And it's something to do with your friends and your family. And many of the girls, you know, the girls, I will say, are definitely better at planning ahead. The guys, you know, they tend to have the maid of honor in the bachelorette party pushing them to plan. But the guys are great. They're awesome. Once we get a hold of them, we kind of, you know, are able to guide them through. But with the girls, it's really about what they want, you know, for the bachelorette party. And in what we do here is we profile all the customers and just say, okay, who are you? You know, because we tend to speak with the maid of honor, although sometimes we do have the brides speaking with us. And what do you want? You know, who is your group? What's the most important thing to the bride? How crazy does it need to be? And then, of course, crazy is relative. And how soft does it need to be? Because it's very important that they're comfortable and safe. Safety is our number one. But with the girls, they want it to be, you know, luxurious and special and, you know, kind of foo-foo, you know, so they can have the beautiful limousines and the, you know, maybe a cruise on the strip with champagne, you know, that kind of thing. So it really, I think, I don't know where it starts for them, you know, as they start thinking about it. I think from what it seems like it's more the girls surrounding them that start to develop the idea for her as opposed to her, because they're the ones that are going to, hey, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And this is what it's going to be. So I think it kind of starts with the girls around her getting excited that they get to partake in this, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And then does it make a difference? Because we have people that this is their very first wedding and everything is brand new. Everything is like Christmas to a six-year-old. Everything is like sparkly, and it's a gift, and there's enthusiasm and excitement, and the flower arrangement or the way the cake tasted, a little tart, or everything is exciting. And then you have people that have been married 3, 4, or 5 times, and they're just hoping this one will stick, or they want this to be their last wedding. And so is that different in planning the bachelorette party, in what stage they are in love and romance?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the girl, you can tell the girls that it's the first time, you know, cause it's, you know, it is the first time, the last time, you know, the entire process is very exciting. And the girls that are doing it, you know, maybe second, third time, they do it differently. You know, their attitude about it's much different. It's, it is still special, but it's more just, you know, let's get out, let's just be crazy. You know, let's just kind of enjoy this. But when it's the first time, it's really important to them, you know, that it is. And the key word for bachelorette party is perfect. That's what they want. They want it to be perfect. They want everything to be on time. And they want their friends to have a great time. They want the bride to have an amazing time. And they really kind of, they put a lot of pressure on themselves. That's kind of unnecessary, but I completely understand it. But they just want it to be perfect.
How interesting. And how difficult that must be for you as the one making the fantasy and dream come true. I mean, you're like the one with the magic wand, even though you're a guy. You're like the fairy godfather or whatever, saying, okay, pumpkin, carrots, you know, glass slippers, prince, whatever that is, and bringing all those elements together to create this fairy tale event.
And that's the key, you know, to what we do, and that's because there can still be failure. And, you know, a limousine can break down, you know, a show could be canceled, you know, things can happen. So that's why we are who we are, you know, at Trends Las Vegas, is we get ahead of that curve for the customers. Because if you don't live here, you can't keep up with that. You know, we're into the inner workings of all the venues, so we understand where they're going, what they're doing. We know which venues are going to surprise us. We know which limo companies will fail or skip on a ride. So it's stressful for me because I want it to be perfect too. You know, so I take a lot of pride in that. But what we are able to do is bring in the best vendors to any party itinerary so that the success rate is 99.99999. But I think customer service actually is defined by recovery. I think that all companies want to do a great job, but it's all about recovery. And, you know, when there's an issue, how are you going to react? And then in that reaction, how much power do you have, you know, to react? You know, last night was actually a good example. We had, we had a lot of bachelorette parties out there, but there was the Mayweather fight was in town, and it created some hiccups because of traffic, transportation, and I had girls that, you know, they're waiting and waiting, and finally I had to step in, you know, and within a matter of minutes, I had the power to fix the issue and get them right back on track, and they were great. They were so happy and pleased. By the end of the night, they had a blast. But that's the concept, is perfection is difficult to achieve. But the more tools that we have, you know, in our toolbox gives us the ability to give them that. And for the girls, that is so important to them. You know, where the guys, they're great. You know, they're just kind of like, they roll with the punches, you know, kind of go with things. But for the girls, we know that perfection is key, and we just want everything to be great. And what we actually kind of walk them through things, you know, so we're in touch with them every step of the way. And we get to know them, you know, throughout the night and their group and how they're related. And for me, it's exciting, you know, by the end of the evening to just see, you know, these groups just having just an amazing time that they're going to remember forever.
I absolutely love it. So you touched on a couple of things that I'd love to back up on. One is trends. That is the name of the company. And you were saying how you're ahead of the trends. Can you talk about that? Because I think that's so important for people to understand how this is different and why it's so important to go with a company and not try to do this yourself.
Well, yeah, the name of the company is Trends Las Vegas, and that's T-R-E-N-Z. And that is exactly what we do. We are professional party planners. And to do that, you have to have the intel. You have to have the information that's going to be able to provide the service. And we're probably one of the very few in town. There are several companies that do what we do, but they don't do it the way we do it. And the reason it's important is, number one, this is a once-in-a-lifetime event. That's number one. If you're just coming to Vegas with your guy friends, your girlfriends, hey, follow the yellow brick road, have a great time, and go home with, you know, a great, you know, maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. But you don't want to take that risk with the Bachelor and Bachelorette party, because this is, you will remember this forever. I mean, this is an event. So that's number one. You know, and then, you know, number two, you've got 48 to 72 hours to execute this itinerary. You know, and Vegas moves very quickly. So with 48 to 72 hours, you need to be ahead of that curve. You need to have everything in place, ready to go. So when you get here, you don't have to have every minute planned, but of course, you know, definitely at least the bachelorette party, so that it's planned, it's ready, and it's on point, you know, for the night of your choosing. So, you know, what we do is we actually consult with the customers. We do 30-minute phone consultations, because in 30 minutes we can really help the girls break it down to exactly what they would like and fit it right into their budget. But we discuss it with them. You know, where are you going to be the most comfortable? Is a male show important? You know, is it? Maybe it's not. And there are girls that would prefer not to do that. And for those girls, we've got great stuff. You know, we've got the Divas, the drag show, which is hysterical. It's so much fun. We've got burlesque shows that they can go to. They could do a comedy club if they wanted to do that and still get the champagne cruise to the Vegas Sign with the great limousines, go to the nightclubs after. So that's important, because if the girls don't want the male show, if there's some kind of a promise, you know, between the bride and the groom that there will be no strip clubs or, you know, that kind of thing, we want to have those options available for them. And we can still make an unbelievable night for the girls that don't want that. Now, for the girls that do want that, we have to sit and chat with them. You know, well, do you want it to be really crazy and extreme, or do you just want it to be kind of mellow? Is the male review show more important as opposed to the male strip club? And you're going to have the girls wear the Chippendales and Thunder. Perfect. They can sit down. They watch the show. There's no actual interaction with that. But then there's the girls that just, it needs to just be ridiculous. And they just want to push the barriers, which is great. And we can accommodate that too. But we have to know who they are. So that's why we take the time to say, okay, who are you? What's important to you? It is the bride's night, but we still want all the party guests to be comfortable in any venue that they choose. So we take a lot of time with that. And the only way for us to be able to give them the right information is that we're out doing the research, following those trends that are happening right now. Because every business in town is fantastic, but they're not fantastic for every group. So that's where we come in. You know, every company has strong points and they have weak points. And we want to make sure that a customer doesn't fall into those weak points and have a bad experience. We want to make sure we keep them ahead of the curve in the positive light of their customer service at any venue so that when they ride through it, it's seamless. And the strange thing is that they don't know how great it is. They do enjoy it. They have a great time. But they don't necessarily know what it would have been like had they tried to navigate the landscape by themselves.
Right. I mean, and you have people that come from other countries, from other parts of the world, that are arriving because Vegas is a destination, or they always had that dream of the Elvis wedding, or whatever that is. And so what is that like? Because are you responsible for them from the minute they arrive?
We can be. You know, it goes anywhere from just you know, sending a group to a nightclub on one night up to, you know, booking their hotel rooms, because we do that too. We can actually assist them on, you know, picking a suite or just a regular hotel room. Some of them want to do a slumber party kind of thing, so we get multi-room suites for them. So we can actually run an entire weekend, you know, because there's daytime activities too. It's not just the nighttime stuff. You know, they can, you know, the girls can do the pole dancing classes, which they love. You know, the guys can go to the gun range. They can race dune buggies. Exotic cars, you know, skydiving, and the girls can do those things too. So it can be an entire weekend that we wrap together for them, but it doesn't have to be. You know, we can work, you know, within any budget. We do have some celebrities that have come to us and asked us to really put things together for them throughout the weekend. And then we have people that are just like, hey, we just need a little of this. You know, Tony, can you do this? Absolutely. I'll take care of it, make sure it's right on point for you. We do have international clients, of course, Canada, Mexico, that come up, and they're fantastic. A lot of European, you know, definitely the UK, France, Germany, and also Australia as well. And in fact, we actually have a party. We have a bachelor party coming in tomorrow night from South Africa. So we definitely have that international clientele, and the international clientele really appreciate it because it's definitely foreign to them. No pun intended, to come here and, you know, actually do something that they're spending even more money to make happen because they're coming from so far away. So it's even more important that it be on point. And they like having that tour guide that kind of, you know, guides them through. And but, yeah, we are international at this point.
That's fantastic. And then when we talk about this being almost as important as the wedding, or the memory that's going to live with you forever. Do you also work with photographers or videographers as far as cataloging and capturing this evening?
You know, we can do it. We've done it only on a few occasions. It's not something that is requested that often. You know, we do try to, when we have the, you know, the girls out there, we try to take pictures of them and, you know, so that they've got stuff with them to, you know, to take home. But it kind of doesn't fit into everybody's budget. It's a little bit higher end. But generally when we have the photographers is really when we do the after parties, because we'll actually do wedding after parties as well. You know, we're after the wedding. You know, they do the Vegas wedding, and then they have their reception. Receptions generally end between 11 and 12, just because the banquet halls need to close. So they're not done yet. It's Vegas. Vegas is going to keep you awake. So, you know, we have those wedding parties that are, you know, really want to do an after-hours thing and keep the party going. And at that point, We found it to be something that they request if they don't already have a photographer or videographer with them. It is something they request, and we'll actually send a photographer out to the Vegas sign so they can do, you know, really great wedding photos right in front of the sign.
I love that. I mean, it's just so much fun, and it's such a great subject to talk about. And then what about timing? Because I know people that get there, they want to be married by Elvis tomorrow or something. How far in advance does somebody need to book a bachelor or bachelorette party?
Well, it does depend on what they're doing. There are different timelines for different activities, but really you should start looking ahead at least 3 months and start putting it together, mostly because you're going to be traveling in. So you've got your guests that have to get hotel rooms, they have to get their flights, they have to get time off work. We're already planning parties for 2015. So we do have people that are really right on point, 6 months, 9 months ahead. We've had people start planning a year ahead just to get the info. But definitely within 3 months, you want to start gathering information. And then within 6 weeks, you want to have your guest list really trimmed down so you know who has actually got their flights, who's really going. And then really 4 weeks out, it's best to have all your activities booked in. You know, your hotels, you should do that as soon as possible because the hotel rates go up and down like the stock market. But as far as the evening at the different shows, the nightclubs, the pool parties, limousine service, you want to get ahead of that because the further ahead you are, the better seats you're going to get, the better tables you'll get at the nightclubs, the better limousine service that you have. So really, I prefer that they're 4 weeks in advance. It gives me more flexibility. I can make things greater. But if somebody, and this does happen, they'll call me the day before or they'll call me the day of, and Tony, what can you do? I'm like, I could hang up. I could do that. a good idea for me because this is going to be difficult. But I always want to help. So I always do everything I can to really try to put things together. But I would always prefer 4 weeks. That would be really helpful. I think it's important to help your party planner help you. I think that's definitely something to consider. And I know it's tough. Like, it is so difficult for people to get together. It's the biggest thing I hear, trying to get people to commit, in their group. They're like, okay, we're doing this, and then, people won't commit to them. So one of the big things we have to work around is a party of 20 that becomes a party of 12. And what we have to do is we have to look ahead of that and understand that that party of 20 could become a party of 12 so that we can build it around it so that we can hit the 12 no problem. But if those 8 people show up last minute, we have the flexibility to expand it and make sure that everybody's included.
This is perfect. And so my next question, I guess, is how did you get into this? Because, I mean, looking at your background and looking at your history from being Mr. Romance, and I would love you to talk about that and what that was like for you to do the cover modeling and to all of a sudden become this guy that women are swooning for, to your own comedy show, to the art of the tease. Can you tell me a little bit about your journey? Because I love to ask people when they were little, like when they were 6, 7, 8, did you know? And I asked the Los Angeles fire chief, I said, did you know you were going to be a firefighter? And he said, absolutely not. I wanted to be an astronaut. He said, the only reason I wanted to go, the fire station was I really wanted to ride the truck. So I'm like 135,000 employees. So when you were a kid, were you always entertaining people or helping people, or where did it begin?
Wow, that's a turn on the time machine, take me back. I will tell you this as a fact: did not foresee ending up where I am. That is a definite. And with the, as a child, I'm originally from New Jersey, East Coast, Italian, and, grew up with the big family, the whole thing, and then was relocated to Denver, Colorado. And this was truly the turning point. Being, back east and dealing with the way the culture back east is, was great. And it had its trials and tribulations, But what really happened was the marker where everything changed for me was being taken from New Jersey to Denver, at the age of 10 years old. And we had to go. My father had asthma, and the doctor just recommended a drier climate, and that being either Arizona or Colorado. And my father made a decision on Colorado. So anyway, we moved, and with that, I had some issues adjusting. So I'll just call them issues. But needless to say, it's fine. And I do not blame my father for this. I do not blame anybody for this. But it was the most miserable 8 years of my life, which created a lot of who I am. It didn't create everything. You know, I was always, you know, friendly and kind. And, you know, as a child, I was excited to make a new friend. And my parents had to pull me aside and explain to me the difference between a friend and an acquaintance at a very young age, because I didn't understand that. So I would get my feelings hurt, you know, as a child, because I didn't understand. And, you know, I'm always questioning why. That was, of course, every child, why. I still today am why. If you can't answer that question, I'm pretty much done. But but needless to say, coming to Colorado, you know, or going to Colorado, I should say, changed it all, because when you're a child, and this I learned later in life, but when you're a child, you truly believe that the world identical to the block you live on, okay? The street that I lived on, I was just convinced that the rest of the world operated the exact same way. And as a child, you wouldn't really think any different. So when I was moved to the Midwest, you know, to Denver, I guess more west, but...
I like the way you even say it, Denver.
Yeah, I still have feelings about this. yes. And it's a wonderful place. Don't get me wrong. It's wonderful for everyone. Not necessarily me, but needless to say, it was just life-changing. And that's where, my mom would probably say I was probably a funny kid. But I think that the statement that comedy does come from pain is very true, at least for me. And, you know, with that transition, that was 180 degrees from what I was used to, things didn't make sense. I mean, they just didn't make sense to me. I was literally in an alien planet, but I was in, you know, Boulder, Colorado, and it just, it shifted me, you know, and I became more alone, you know, didn't have as many friends. You know, I had my little networks here and there, but it just was really different, and I had a lot to deal with, you know. So really my junior high and high school years was more survival than education, or the survival, or the education of survival. So, but in that, that's where that comedy came from, and, you know, just kind of expressing, you know, that pain, but never thought about being a comedian either. So I have to say that, you know, graduating high school, I was just happy that I survived it. I didn't necessarily have any idea of who I was, who I would be, or what I wanted to be. What I wanted to be was free of the educational system, so I wouldn't have to deal with that on a daily basis. So, you know, and I'm probably going way deeper than you expected this answer
no,
to be.
No, I love this. This is exactly what I was curious about. So,
yeah, so it's strange, and I think I found my way to the stage in little ways, and, you know, doing things, you know, little contests at nightclubs and things, and, you know, for like dancing competitions and lip syncing competitions, things like that. And I found myself enjoying it. And then I was traveling, and sure enough, I got sick. I was in Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa, and I had eaten some food at a local restaurant, and I ended up with food poisoning. I was very sick. And so I was kind of held up in the hotel room for quite some time. And needless to say, as you're kind of coming out of being sick, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm asleep in the hotel room, and the TV is on. And all of a sudden, the TV enters my consciousness, okay? And I hear this voice that I had never heard before, okay? And I can't say what he said, and you'll know why in a second, but needless to say, it woke me up out of a dead sleep. And I It's 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning, and what I see on television is Andrew Dice Clay. And this is literally my first introduction to comedy. And I sat up. I was starting to feel better, but I still, you know, fever and whatnot. I sat up on the edge of that hotel room bed, and I watched that television, and I watched him, and I was absolutely enthralled. I was just, I felt like I was inside the television. I was so motivated by this. I had never seen this. I, of course, knew stand-up comedy existed, but this was so interesting to me. And that was the moment that kind of drove me to think that, wow, this is interesting. This is something I might like. And that's where that started. And, of course, with stand-up comedy, it starts with failure. And the first night that I did it was absolutely miserable. I will never forget that as long as I live. It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. I thought it was funny until I locked off that stage and walked down a very dark alley and waited 3 more months before I got on stage because I realized there was more to learn.
That's so remarkable for me because, I mean, I've had the grand opportunity of seeing a lot of comedy in my life and a lot of comedians, and you are hysterical. I have never watched you on stage where tears weren't rolling down my eyes and my ribs didn't hurt a couple days later still from laughing. I mean, I cannot imagine you not just shining on stage and having the audience in an uproar.
Yeah, well, it's happened, Nicole. It has happened, and yeah, and it can still happen, you know. It's character building. It really is to just experience that. I don't know. I'm sure there is, but somewhere on the planet, that can be as lonely of a space as stand-up comedy. And when you are failing, you are more alone in a room full of people than I think you could ever be. So it's, but it's fantastic at the same time. I revel in my failures as much as I revel in the successes and those big nights and everybody's laughing and enjoying. But yeah, it's a great art. It's absolutely a great art. You stand alone in front of the world when you do it.
That's just amazing. And then, so from comedy, how did you get into the dance and into the shows and... I mean, and you did your own show, which you're talking about being on stage and what a scary experience it is to get up and just do a set. But, The Art of the Tease was your own show.
Correct. Yeah, that was really brought on by my, history as a Chippendale dancer, because I'll just say it. I was, an actual Chippendale dancer, and I did the performing. It's also part of what gives me an edge, you know, especially in the Bachelorette Party arena. I know the business very well for them. But that, going into that particular form of entertainment, actually is what kind of drove me into others, it gave me the opportunity financially to kind of start working into, other areas of entertainment with the acting and the comedy. And then of course the romance novels where I was introduced to the Mr. Romance competition and found that interesting and decided to follow through on it. And I was able to win the title. And that was a lot of fun, just really great. But that, it was really all brought on by that. I felt the need for the stage. And then I was given an outlet that happened to be, in the Mail Review show industry. But I took it very seriously. I was really all about performing. And my comedy actually started. That's where, my comedy really grew, was in that venue, with the Chippendales. And, actually as I toured Europe with the Chippendales, they gave me a microphone, and they just asked me to do 2 minutes, just at the end of the show to give, the other guys a costume change, 2 minutes. Well, that 2 minutes grew into 20 minutes, and, the promoter, the owner of the Chippendales in Europe, Carl Leighton Pope, he snuck into a show one night and saw it, and he made sure it was a main staple of the show from there on out. So that's where I started it. So I actually started comedy in the strip clubs, and then was able to move out, you know, into the bigger venues, go on tour with Def Comedy and that kind of thing.
That's great. And what was it like to be Mr. Romance? I mean, that would be so much fun even just to say that you are or were. I mean, what a great life thing.
It's pretty ridiculous, actually, but really fun. Like, it's definitely one of the top funniest things in my life. I'd have to say it's on the top 10 list in my life because when I went to the competition, I did not plan on winning. You know, I heard about this. I understand contests. I know the politics involved. And I really went down there with zero expectations. I mean, I really did. But it came to me in such a way that I thought, you know, I didn't seek this out. I got an anonymous email regarding it. I still to this day don't know who sent me that. And it just kind of came together in a way that I felt like it's one of those things in life you should follow. You know what I mean? Where you think, this isn't just something. This is something interesting that maybe you should see through. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's kind of how that happened. And when I went to do that, I did not anticipate winning. Not in the least bit. Did I think that would happen? And again, it was the comedy that really did it. You know, this was shortly after 9/11. You know, when this happened. And, you know, people, I guess maybe they just needed to laugh. And I was basically, I was a guy in a beauty pageant, okay? I mean, am I really in a beauty pageant right now? My father's killing me with this. He's like, oh, my God, my son's in a beauty pageant. You know? So it was just so ridiculous that we're doing this whole thing. Great bunch of guys, just a great group of folks. Really, it was a seven-day thing. Really enjoyed it. But the MC of the show, as we're doing the rehearsal, says, Tony, you know, what would you like, the question, they were going to ask you a question, because like in a beauty pageant, you have to answer the question, and the answer, of course, is world peace. Well, he says, what question do you want? And I said, you know what, and I was just joking with him. I said, you know what, don't ask me a question, just tell me to talk. I didn't think he would take me seriously. So when I walked out, you know, during the pageant, this portion, he says to me, all right, Tony, talk. He actually said that to me. So here I am. I have a microphone. I have a crowd. Allow me. And I went on just really kind of having fun, just kind of poking fun at the fact that I'm in a beauty pageant, number one, and kind of chatting about the process and going through it and talking to the people. And the next thing you know, they literally, the MC actually tried to take the microphone from me. But needless to say, that was really the moment, you know, that I think really won it for me, is just, you know, bringing people together in laughter and saying, hey, okay, yeah, we're romance novel guys, I guess. I don't know that I really am, but, you know, I guess if you have long hair and a white poet shirt on, you qualify. So, but needless to say, hey, let's laugh about this. You know, this is serious, this is important to people, but you know what? Let's laugh about it. Let's enjoy it. So needless to say, that I believe is what actually gave me the win. I didn't expect to win anything. So, you know, and in fact, I find out later, 9 out of the 11 judges voted for me to win. 2 of the other judges were upset with me. They're like, you know, this is not a comedy competition. This is romance. How dare you bring funny to romance when we both know that romance is nothing but hysterical. Because if
yes.
you are truly in the romantic mindset, the person you are with, you will laugh, you will cry, you will have every emotion possible, and laughter is definitely one of them. So laughter should always be included when it comes to romance.
I agree with that so much. I absolutely love that. Yakov Smirnoff is a friend of mine, and he has Happily Ever Laughter, and talks about the intimacy of a couple. The deeper the intimacy, the deeper the joy, and the more laughter. And I always love that idea. And
yeah.
So with that, when you were writing your column, because then you went from being Mr. Romance to actually writing love advice.
Nicole?
Did you write funny advice, or did you actually write real advice?
Let me say that I teetered on this subject because I really had to figure out, because I automatically would go funny. But then I also realized these people that are asking these questions are actually, they're serious. Like, you know, so I kind of realized when I did that, that I had to maintain a level of responsibility. Because when reading something, you can take it differently than possibly I meant it had I spoken it to you. So I did realize that I had to be responsible with my replies, but still wanted to have, you know, fun with it, because I think that, you know, as many unanswered questions there are in the universe, you know, by scientists that I don't know how they sleep at night, but I believe that romance has as many, if not more, unanswered questions, because the emotion itself is so complicated, and it's truly a drug, you know, like any other. And when you're in, it hurts. And if it's great, it feels wonderful. And when it's not there, it hurts. So I think that it's so complex that it's very difficult for there to be one answer, because there's not. You know, when you're talking to someone about love and romance, and you're talking about the positive stuff, it's very simple. But when you're talking about someone who is perplexed by the concept, saying, well, am I in love with this person? Why isn't this person in love with me? Or we were in love. Why aren't we in love anymore? We lost the spark. At this point, there's so many variables that can come into play. And the number one variable, especially that I see with people that are having trouble with their love or with a breakup, is that the advice they want isn't any other advice except the advice they want to hear. Do you understand? So
yes.
They're saying they want you to tell them what they want to hear. They don't want to hear what they don't want you to tell them. Okay? And that tends to be the biggest challenge, you know, with doing that. So I am not a psychologist by any means, by any stretch of the imagination. I am an observationist. I'm able to observe. I'm able to take data, calculate it, and try to figure out some form of common denominator that would work in any situation in my life. But with this, it's just kind of important to maybe lend more of a helping hand as opposed to a solution.
Just, I love your journey. The entire journey is fascinating to me. And so I guess the major question I have for you is, now the bachelor, do you also give love advice, or do you say, because of my background, I know women better than most people, or is there not a trump or a one-up or a way that you're able to have a kindredness or a compadreship with these guys that are doing bachelor parties because of your journey there?
Let me make sure I understand the question. So are you speaking of... as I'm assisting a bachelor party, you know, putting
yes.
a bachelor party together in town, and then, of course, taking them on their journey in Vegas?
Yes.
I don't know. They don't know my background. Some of them will actually have arrived in Vegas, and they will have researched who is Tony Renato. And so they'll kind of tease me through the night, you know, hey, it's Mr. Romance, you know, or they start calling me Fabio because, you know, the long hair, my hair is not as long as it used to be by any means, but, you know, God forbid there's a wind and my hair flares. I'm already, all of a sudden I'm Fabio and where's the butter, right? But needless to say, it's, they're guys and I'm amazed actually. I think it's really great because they do bond with me. And, you know, I'm able to kind of explain to them, because I know I'm a guy. I threw a bachelor party for my best friend that almost created a divorce, okay? So I know what these guys are. Well, I shouldn't say a divorce, but a non-marriage, I should say. But I know what these guys want. I know what they want to do, you know, because I'm a guy. And it's, I would say it's probably easier for me to help the guys than the girls, but because of my background, helping the girls is very easy for me because I've been around thousands and thousands of bachelorette parties, and I see what they do, what they want to do, all their different temperaments. I know the dynamics of every group, if it's going to be a group that is tightly niched together, or it's going to be a group of girls who everybody needs attention, and there's no one there to give it to them, so they stay disconnected. I know all the variables that come together there. But with the guys, they're like my buddies, really, by the end of the night. I would say the majority of them. You know, by the end of the night, they're like, Tony, you know, stay with us, party, you know, and they're really, really enjoying it. You know, they'll pull up in front of the club, you know, in one of the limos, because I put the guys in the big F-650 mega limos, you know, just guy vehicles. So they're just excited that they get out of this huge vehicle. They have to climb down out of it, and they start yelling my name across the parking lot. And it's so I can't explain to you why. I'm not sure why they have a connection with me, but they do, you know. But I think it's a guy thing. But I don't think it's related necessarily to my past by any means.
Okay.
If that helps, I'm not sure, but yeah.
Oh, absolutely, that helps. I mean, because it's just so curious for me, because what a vast background. And to go from the Chippendales to being Mr. Romance to the comedy, and to being able to talk to people with your personality and sense of humor and all that you do. And one of the things that really struck me when we were talking before the show is that you were sharing that each evening, whether it's a bachelor party or a bachelorette party, you look at it as an event, almost as if it's its own show or its own performance. And I've never heard of a party talked about in that way.
Yeah, and that's what it is. You know, I have to say, I think I've taken my showmanship of, you know, because I have assembled many shows, been a part of many shows, whether live or televised, and I know the inner workings of the production and, you know, what it takes to produce a show. And, you know, it was probably a few years ago that it just hit me. Just, you know, I was like kind of looking at what I do, and really that's what I do, is I am creating a show, and I'm using the Las Vegas Strip as my stage. And the idea is that I'm going to take you on a journey that will continue to elevate throughout the evening, all the way until the end, so that I'm going to try to hit as many senses of yours as I possibly can and build on them as we go through the night. So by the end of the night, you may be intoxicated, you may be tired, but when you wake up the next day, you're just like, wow, that was phenomenal. And so I really look at it like a show, because it's definitely an event. There's no doubt about it, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. But it's a show, you know, because I can take you and I can put things in front of you that you see, and I can watch you interact with it, and you don't even know that I put that in front of you. I can hide things from you and surprise you with things when you're the customer, and you should know everything that's about to happen, and you do, but I'm still able to surprise you with different factors, with different limousines, with different perks and things, where all of a sudden you're like, oh my, I didn't expect that. And even the person planning the party should have that experience of, oh wow, we didn't expect this. So I do actually hide things from the customer so that they too can have something fresh and somewhat of a surprise as they're going through their night.
That's perfect. Oh, my gosh. What an amazing evening. What an amazing thing to have as a prelude and the first step towards your wedding and the happily ever after and these memories that you're going to cherish and love forever and look back and say, wow, was that spectacular. That was something that I'm always going to remember. My friends are always going to remember, my families. And the fact that you're part of that, it must be so much joy. It must kind of be like being the Las Vegas Santa Claus or something.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Yeah, it is. It is. I will tell you, it is challenging. It's all logistics. Like, it is all logistics when it comes down to it. The behind the scenes, it's just like your computer. You can use Microsoft Windows, and you can just point and click and drag and drop, and it's all fun and games, and it's beautiful, and it's nice, but you have no idea what the computer is actually doing behind the scenes and how that coding comes together. That's exactly what I do, and what we do here at Trends Las Vegas is we show you this very pretty picture, but you have no clue what's actually happening behind the scenes, making this a very smooth program.
And then how do people find you? How did they book? You're saying 3 to 4 weeks in advance or 3 to 4 months in advance or as soon as they know they're getting married next year to call you today and to start planning this so they have the best theater seats or the best limo. And so what's the very best way to talk to you, to book a party, to figure out budget, all of that?
Well, of course, our website, which is trendslasvegas.com. And again, Trends is T-Tom, R-E-N, Nancy, Z-Zebra. So T-R-E-N-Z, lasvegas.com. You can visit the website. It's a website continues to grow. So there's more and more information available. We're always trying to put as much information in front of the customer as possible, trying to create the most comprehensive scenario for them. So visit the website. Take a look. You'll see a lot of items, a lot of party packages, different ideas. You can read our blog explaining to you know the keys of the bachelorette party, how to plan the perfect bachelorette party. And you can get a quote right online. You can fill it out. Tell us what you're interested in, and we'll actually send you a quote, send you all kinds of fun info. You can also fill out right online for a phone consultation. We do 30-minute phone consultations, and we can actually help you plan your party in 30 minutes or less. I personally recommend that option because if you call us, you know, or you sign up for a phone consultation where we call you, we're going to smooth this thing out. We're going to take all the stress away from you because there's a lot of stress to actually trying to plan it. Or you can just, you know, check us out on Facebook at Trends Las Vegas. Get the hookup on Facebook. And then, of course, Twitter, we're at TrendsLV. Or you can call us direct. Our direct office line is 702-472-7050.
That's great. Can you do that phone number just one more time? I know people are like feverishly writing out there saying, oh my gosh, I've got to contact these people.
702-472-7050, or just look Trends Las Vegas. If you do a Google search on Trends Las Vegas, you're going to pull up a lot of information. And you can just click on it, go right to our website. All the contact information is there. Call our office. Feel free to ask for me directly. My name, again, is Tony Renato. And I basically handle all the party planning. You know, everything else is the back office and people that are working on booking the transportation, the events, all that. But I will be the key person that you speak with when it comes to the party planning.
That's great. And now for all of you who have been, you know, getting arthritis, as you've been trying to write as quickly as you can, everything from Tony's bio and his show and the Chippendales and bachelorette parties and the limos and the big car and all of that, you can also just send a text message to 55678, 55678, and the message is simple. It's Nicole, and you can get a download of today's show, a copy that you can have in your phone and you can have in your computer, and you can listen to it over and over again and hear all about Denver. I love the way that you say it. It's just, and do you know all the years that I've known you, I never knew that. And that's a new epiphany for me. And I love the fact that when you talk about taking whatever life gives you and change, you know, turning that into comedy and having a commentary on that. And that must be so helpful, too, in a city like Las Vegas that's moving so quickly, being able to have a sense of humor and that quick mind to be able to get, like you're saying, if there's traffic or there's a concert or being able to really handle situations that come up lickety-split.
Yeah. Yeah, it's helpful all the way around. And I will say, just because the, you know, even the drivers that are out there, you know, the gentlemen at the front of the nightclubs, you know, the different shows, I mean, everybody is, they have those stressful nights. And it's kind of nice to, you know, be able to kind of alleviate some of that with, you know, just a smile, a little bit of laughter, because everybody in Vegas is working hard, trying to make things great. And they're dealing with a lot of stuff in a night, you know, and so it's always nice that we can, you know, kind of laugh with each other. And then, of course, having the customers laugh with us is fantastic. So, absolutely.
And so when you talk about the key word being perfect, is perfect to you, like you were saying that next morning when that memory is divine, when they just say, that was the best time of my life. Wow, that was, I can't believe we did that. Or this is just going to be the best wedding ever. What is perfect bachelor or a bachelorette party look like to you?
Well, the bachelorette party, the perfection there is that they get everything that they ask for and that everything is on time and as smooth as possible. And that's the bachelorette party. So they want it to just be smooth and perfect. And, you know, a lot of the maid of honors are, they take a personal pride in setting up the party that puts pressure on them, because they do really feel as though they're being looked upon by their peers as the person in charge. So not only are we trying to make sure that the bride has a great time and it's flawless and amazing, we're also trying to protect the maid of honor and make sure that she looks great to her friends, because there is a big portion of that that comes down to it. The girls will be looking at her and saying, wow, you did a really great job. And so I think that the stress is two parts. It's, we want it perfect for the bride, but I want it to be perfect so that I'm not judged incorrectly by my peers. So those are the two real factors for the bachelorette. And we're right on point for them, and they're so thankful when it goes great for them. Then, you know, with the bachelor party, they just want to, it's more conspiratorial, I would have to say. You know, the guys are headhunting. You know, they're going after the bachelor, and, you know, they want him to drink as much as possible and, you know, be crazy. We have, you know, some of the groomsmen that will make them dress up. We've actually sent bachelors out that are dressed like superheroes, like in a really bad superhero outfit. And then they hire a small person, okay, and the small person is also a superhero, and the two of them are handcuffed together going around town for the entire bachelor party. So there's,
oh my gosh,
with the guys, it's kind of, you know, they just, it's kind of almost like they're beating them up without actually hitting them, you know. They just really want to, you know, push it. So for the guys,
so
it's just awesomeness that they're looking for.
Well,
you know,
I have
just,
to say
that's
that
what it is.
Awesome, Tony, is you. So if guys are looking for awesomeness, you are awesome. And thank you for being with us today. It's always such a joy. And to talk to you, and, you know, the magic you were bringing out to bachelors and bachelorettes and their wedding parties, just astonishing. And so everybody, call Tony, go to Vegas, have a wonderful time. And don't forget 55678, sending a text. Nicole, you can download this whole thing and listen to Tony and all of the details on how you really can have the very best first step to that happily ever after and your dreams coming true. So, Tony, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Nicole. I really appreciate it. It was a pleasure.
Of course. Wow. What an incredible, incredible guest, and how much fun. That's the way to go. So, Trends Las Vegas, and this is New Brandon, an Hourglass Bride, and Tony Renata wishing you that all your happily ever after dreams come true.